welcome to Punta Vista. It's a bonus episode. I'm Andrew, and I'm just a humble boy in this little village in which I live. Hey, look at the field over there. Tending to his carrots, I guess, looking by the stalks coming out of the ground. It's Ben. Hey, Ben, look out behind you. There's a wolf. There's a wolf coming to get you.
It's the same wolf you saw yesterday.
No, it's a new wolf. Turn around and look. Turn around and look. I'm so serious. It's right there. It's right there, and it's going to get you, and you will not harvest the carrots at the right time.
Andrew, can I peel back the curtain? Would that be okay? I know I haven't peeled back the curtain for a little while.
That's true.
Which I think I've probably earned this one. So we
unmolested curtain.
We were meant to record with Theo this afternoon, but he realized he didn't take his XLR cable with him on holiday.
Yep.
Which, you know,
which is probably for the best, really.
Yeah, and so we said, you know what? Fuck it. We don't have an intro anymore because Theo said, hey, guys, guess what? I'm really excited to record with you tonight, and I have an intro. And then
we said, great, no thinking for us.
5:45, 15 minutes before recording, he says, oh. So instead, we've decided, you know what? Let's go old style. Let's go classic Punta Vista, and we'll improvise an intro. And that's led us to here. Andrew went from nothing to a beautiful, fully formed idea in the space of like 2 or 3 seconds.
This is the Boy Who Cried Wolf intro.
Yes.
And you're in it right now.
Were you looking around the room for inspiration? Where did this come from? Where did this idea form?
No, I was thinking about a conversation I had with one of my kids yesterday.
Oh, about the Boy Who Cried Wolf? Okay.
And it went like this. You remember that story about the boy who cried wolf? Yes, said my child. And I went, you remember the point of the story?
Were you using it as a teachable moment?
Yeah, kind of in desperation.
Yeah. Hey, wolves.
Seriously, there's one right behind you.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. And if there was one right behind me, he'd be part of nature. We look at the goings on in nature. In our oldest segment, Nature Corner. It's time for Nature Corner.
Country roads take me home to the place I belong. Punta Vista, Nature Corner. Robert Kraft, sit my dick.
This comes to us from CBC in Canada. Sightings of deer wearing high-vis jacket raise questions, quips, and concerns in BC Village.
Now, I was looking at that headline and thinking to myself, like, I feel like concerns would be up front for me.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know, I guess it really depends on the person. Are you asking a question or making a joke when you see the deer in a high-vis jacket? Or are you concerned that perhaps they have reached a new plane of intelligence?
Yeah, that's true. Are you questioning? Is your question, what are deer? Have deer ascended?
Have deer figured out that if you're wearing one of those, you don't get shot?
Yes.
Now, they started defending themselves and using tools.
If you want to scroll down a little bit, you can get an image of the deer in the jacket there, the bottom of the story.
That's not yours.
Yeah. That's like, because I read the headline and I was like, oh, it's probably just like tangled in a jacket, right? But it's not.
No, he's got his arms through the sleeves, you
his
know?
His four legs are through the sleeves. Yep, that's what we call those.
Yep.
Of the jacket. And it is wearing the jacket human style.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely human style. Thank God he's not wearing any pants and we don't have to get into the how would a deer wear...
Yeah,
pants?
Although I guess if he was, that question would have been neatly answered by the photo that we were looking at.
Yes.
I'll tell you how a deer wears a jacket, if a deer
like
was
this.
To wear a jacket,
just
it's exactly like this.
Like this,
in the way that you would expect.
Yep. Almost, he looks a bit like someone came around the corner and saw him standing on his hind legs, like smoking a Marlboro Light.
Yeah.
Wearing that jacket, and by the time the person got their phone out of their pocket, He's at least back down on all fours. He doesn't have time to get the jacket off.
But he can pretend to be a quadruped again.
Yeah.
He's gone, oh, shit, fuck. I'm just a deer.
Cigarette smothered under the snow.
Deer style.
Just doing regular stuff over here. Staying safe. Safety is important.
Safety first. That's what we always say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
safety mm-hmm. first. Pleasure second.
Oh, also, I don't talk.
Oh. deer noise. Deer noise.
Mm-hmm.
Andrea Arnold knows a lot about what goes on in the village of McBride, a community of about 600 people in British Columbia's Robson Valley.
Try and mind your own fucking business.
As a reporter for the Rocky Mountain Goat newspaper,
good
that's
name.
The name of the newspaper, is the Rocky Mountain Goat.
Good name.
Yeah.
Scaling the heights of information, you know?
It's crazy what words you can have as the noun in your newspaper thing, where it's like Clarion, Gazette, Observer, Herald.
I was just saying the other week, I like the Sentinel. Yep, the Sentinel and the Herald, they both have cool vibes of like someone striding out of the mist to make an announcement.
Yeah.
The Goat?
The Goat.
He's just kind of there.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, right?
I feel like a goat kind of, feel like a goat is absorbing the news more passively. Like a herald is making the announcement. They're delivering the news.
Clearing his throat, making a great ringing of trumpets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The goat, you're sort of more passing by him on a thoroughfare. You say, what's up?
The goat observes, but he does not share.
Hmm.
This I know of goats. As a reporter for the Rocky Mountain Goat newspaper, she keeps track of wildfires, local sports teams, and pretty much everything happening in the picturesque mountain valley town that lies a 200-kilometer drive east of Prince George, BC. But nothing quite prepared Arnold for what she saw while driving through town Sunday afternoon.
Oh, she saw it. Sick.
Quote, the vehicle in front of me had slowed right down, which is not abnormal because there are deer that cross the highway. But this one was wearing a high-vis jacket.
Fair. So your Canadians call it high-vis too, huh?
Yeah. It's crazy.
That's nice.
I don't feel like I've ever heard the words high-vis leave an American.
Outside of Australia, right?
Yeah, like a United States mouth.
It is not a noble observation.
Yes.
That Australians love to abbreviate stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Love to shorten things. I'll
tell you what Americans are real fucking bad at, is guessing how Australians would shorten
abbreviate something.
Yeah,
they're not good at it.
It's this like fucking meme post that I keep seeing that like, oh, if Australians started calling non-bino for non-binary people yet, we wouldn't say it like that. It falls out of the mouth too awkwardly. That's horrible. I'm not calling it that.
The one thing where I will say that we kind of fuck up with our overly liberal use of abbreviations is giving people abbreviated names that have more syllables than the original thing.
Yeah.
Like calling a guy Rob Robbo.
Yeah, a lot of Scotties out there.
Yeah, yeah. Scott. That was easier, shorter.
Yeah, Scott.
It was fine.
Wow, that took so little time.
It's very hard to make a one syllable noun shorter. Generally speaking, you
that's
know?
True.
Only thing left to do is add some more on.
Yeah,
but yeah, I've never heard high viz anywhere except for in Australia. It's wonderful to forge yet another beautiful connection across the oceans.
Yes,
via this podcast,
we have this, and we have the Queen,
mm-hmm.
and we have been.
And she's dead.
Oh yeah, fuck.
Yep,
we got that other guy. These big old sausage fingers. He'll probably be around for ages.
Looks so robust, doesn't he?
He's like a healthy guy. She managed to snap two photos, which show a deer fully wrapped in a jacket with strips of reflective material before the animal walked away, but she still couldn't quite process what she had seen. Now, this quote that I'm about to read you, I really like, because if I was a reporter, this is the sort of stuff I know that I would try and make sure got into a story. Quote, I was like, what? Like, what? She recalled.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's even better to me than when like when there's a story on like the Sydney News or whatever about like a car blowing up, you know, And, yeah. And
it's
and
just somebody, a guy. That was crazy.
Yeah, yeah. There's just the snippet of somebody going, "Yeah, I heard a big boom," and like that's the whole.
Yeah.
Like, yep. It's I went awesome. Outside and it was on fire.
Yeah, so it exploded, and I said, "Wow,
wow,
oh, good, good to hear."
That really added to my understanding of the event.
Joe Rich, who owns a tow shop along the highway through town, said he saw the deer in the woods around the same time. Imagine. Nice. Imagine you're just like minding your own business. You're going about your day. You're going to go pick up a guy. You're going to go tow it. You're going to go mm-hmm. pick up a guy. Fuck him. And then yep. go tow a truck.
And is it just his like, truck, the guy you fucked, or is it unrelated, do you think?
Unrelated. That's just okay. squeezing in, you know, what you can between jobs.
When you
jobs.
Repo on trucks all day and you're getting yelled at, yeah. some people will occasionally brandish a gun. It is fucking stressful. You yes. got to blow off a little steam in between jobs.
Yeah, know? By blowing off that one guy in his car.
That's right.
And then another guy about an hour and a half later. Imagine you're doing that, and then you just like, you're stuck at a red light. They probably don't have red lights there. You slowed down for something. You're just sort of looking around. You're singing along to the radio. And then you make direct eye contact with a deer wearing a jacket, human style. It's just looking at you, holding your gaze.
It's and look, let's be real. You and I have seen the photo. And there is a bit of an element of, do you mind?
Yeah. He looks kind of like, hey, take a fucking photo.
It'll
last longer, pal.
Can I help you?
Yeah. Piss off, pal. I'm fucking chewing over here. I'm chewing on some grass, probably. They eat grass, right?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Probably grass. He said he managed to take a closer look at the deer, and it was clearly dressed in the jacket with its legs placed through the sleeves.
Mm-hmm. That's how you put a jacket on. It'd be ridiculous to do anything else.
Yeah. Quote, it zipped right up, he said. Someone obviously had to tackle this thing and put the jacket on it. At first, I thought maybe it got tangled up on it. In it, but on second glance, that's not the case. Arnold posted her photos to Facebook, hoping to get some answers, but so far has mostly gotten more speculation and lots of jokes.
What?
Here we go. Get ready for some fucking great, great comedy.
Some side splitters.
Quote, if you're cold, they're cold as well. Let them inside, she said.
Not as well. As received. Well is not part of the format of that.
No. Yeah, you could have just... No, we don't need to punch up community Facebook posts, but you could have just said, if you're cold, they're cold, let them in.
Yep.
That I think that's probably would have just like got the a whole message statement. Across.
Yeah. Keep calm and don't panic and carry on.
Additionally,
you know?
Carry on. Quote, a deer on its way to work, reads another comment. Yeah. Yeah, he works at a construction site, I guess. He's a lollipop yes. man. Quote, trying to pass as a hunter. Says a third. It's kind of funny. You're thinking this guy's managed to break free of the cycle of torment by disguising himself as one of his tormentors.
God, imagine, you know. Yeah.
Clothing yourself in the raiment of your enemy.
Yeah, yeah.
Rich said he thinks it might be a practical joke. On whom?
Hmm.
Who's getting practical joked upon? The deer?
What do you think... All right, are we going to spitball some theories here?
Let's wait until we've got all the info at hand, and then
okay,
we'll see
okay.
how we feel about this. But he pointed out that even though the deer seems unbothered at the moment, it could cause problems down the line. Quote, it needs the game warden's attention because it won't survive like that, he said, saying that if it can't shed its fur, it could develop disease. Quote, this is a new one. Eamon MacArthur of the BC Conservation Office Service told CBC News after receiving photos of the deer, I've had deer with Christmas lights in their antlers, but never anything like this. MacArthur said as long as the animal doesn't seem to be stressed, the jacket was unlikely to cause it any harm. Now that I like to hear, because often you get a story like this where it's kind of funny, and then you're like, oh, well, he's going to starve to death tomorrow probably because of the jacket. And this guy's like, nah, as long as he doesn't mind wearing the jacket,
yeah.
he's fine in the jacket. That's good.
Kind of up to him if he wears the jacket, you know?
Yeah. But he did encourage people to keep an eye out for the deer and report any new sightings, especially if the deer seem to be distressed or in trouble. He said people should not approach wild deer nor put clothes on them. Good
fair.
Good tip. Quote, I didn't think I'd have to specify that one, he said. Usually they're pretty quick. Arnold said, there are people in town who sometimes provide food for deer, but to dress a deer would require someone to get the jacket around the wild animal's legs and zip it up, and she would like to learn how that happened. Quote, I don't need to know the who, she said. I just want to know how. Me too.
Look, I'm going to be honest. That makes it sound like she really wants to do it herself also, or perhaps has been trying to do it for some time.
Yeah, they finally did what I couldn't, what I've been dreaming of.
But that's, how?
I mean, literally fucking how? Because getting it, it's not like you could just sort of catch it unawares, very quickly chuck it on the deer. You've got to like get it through one armhole and then bring the other armhole around and get it through and then bring it together and then zip it up. Who the fuck is doing this and how are they, do they tranquilize it? Do they have a blow dart tranquilizer gun that they got the deer with or something?
I think you're looking in the wrong direction here, right? You're assuming that this was done to the deer, you know, like without the deer's consent. Have you considered perhaps a beautiful friendship between perhaps a deer and maybe an adolescent boy who is coming of age?
Yes.
You know?
His best friend, the deer.
Stepdad, troubled marriage between his parents, a lot of yelling, you know?
Latchkey kid.
Sometimes he covers his ears.
Yeah.
He thinks, I got to get out of here. I got to go somewhere quiet, like the woods.
Yeah.
You know?
And he's standing outside in the sort of the floodlights out the front of the house. And the light sort of just reaches the edge of the woods where the clearing stops. And in that little moment of stillness and quiet away from his stepdad arguing with his mum, he hears a sort of a gentle breathing and he looks up and he sees this beautiful deer. And it's just gazing at him. And it's not afraid. And he's not afraid. And then he notices the deer is kind of looking in his jacket. And then sort of raising its eyebrows, which he didn't know deer could do. He's looking down. He's going, huh? He's looking at his jacket.
It seems specifically interested in the Carhartt label.
Yeah. And then it very gently, it gets down on its knees. Do you have knees?
Oh, yeah, I think they've got some that would probably lock in that sort of situation, you know.
It gets down and then it lies down and it waits and he puts the jacket on it. And they both wander into the woods together for hours. I think that's probably what happened.
Well, and I think maybe there's a close call in there somewhere, you know? Like his friend, it suddenly, you know, they've been getting along for like weeks, having a really good time, some frolicking, maybe.
Gambling.
You know?
the kind that means frolicking, not the kind that means spending money.
He throws a snowball at the deer and he laughs and then the deer gets like some antlers full of snow and like covers him and he's like, oh, I didn't think you'd get me like that.
Yeah.
Suddenly though, it's hunting season. Hunting season has begun and his friend is in danger. And he thinks, how can I help him? How can I save him? Here, stand up for a second. I have Todd, my shitty stepfather's jacket.
Yeah.
I hope you wear it, and I hope he comes out looking for it and gets shot by a hunter on accident, he'd probably say.
Yes, true. He would say on accident because of North America. Yeah.
It's like Occam's razor.
Yes. Yeah. The simplest explanation, always true. It's always a boy befriending a deer.
Why wouldn't it be, you know?
We might eventually find out whether this deer got a jacket on it from it being befriended by a local boy, and that would be an update to an old news story. Which we cover in Oh Shit, It's an Update to an Old News Story.
Oh shit, it's an update to an old news story.
Now, this is an update to the story of the quote-unquote missing kayaker that we talked about in the bonus episode, Everyone Can Steal.
And you can.
You can. Literally anyone can do it. This comes to us from CNN. Kayaker accused of faking his own drowning is alive in Europe, officials say.
Hey!
So where we left off, they had a pretty strong suspicion that he was alive in Europe because he had gone through Canada to travel to Europe, and also he'd been talking to an Uzbek lady.
Mm. Known for their passion.
Also, we got sent a lot of, a couple of times, people sent us a link to this viral post of someone, I think at the start of this year or the end of last year, doing a man on the street interview in California, I'm pretty sure, with a woman who was like holding up a sign that was like, ask me for life advice or whatever. And then a guy that looks kind of like this guy rolls up and says, should I move to Uzbekistan? And he's like, yep. What? And he's like, yeah, should I move to Uzbekistan? And she's like, why do you want to go there? And he's like, for a woman. And then eventually he's like, yeah, I'm married. And he's like, the lady asks, oh, does your wife know? And he's like, no, she doesn't. He talks about having grown up kids that have moved out of the house and all that shit. Anyway, it turns out it's not that guy.
Because it's such a common thing.
Yeah,
you know?
It's just a classic story of married guy contemplating leaving his wife for a beautiful Uzbek woman.
Man meets Uzbek.
I'm still in mild disbelief that it's not the same fucking guy. It is genuinely insane that someone else is experiencing the exact same feelings. Absolutely nuts.
Hey, just before we go on any further, do you mind if I pull the curtain back?
Oh, I would love for you to pull on the curtain. Give that curtain a tug.
Jerk the curtain real quick?
Yeah, do a little curtain jerk.
Just while we've been talking, I just made a little picture for you that was kind of in my head. I made a little picture for you, and I put it in the chat there.
You've been doing this while I've been recording the podcast. You have photoshopped that picture of the deer in the jacket in the space of Fox Spooky Mulder's I Want to Believe poster while they're sitting in his office having a conversation.
Yeah. Because that's a thing that he wants to know more about.
That is true. That's,
I think,
very beautiful.
It's something where he would go, what would he call it to Scully? Ever heard of the...
I think it's just the jacket deer.
Ever heard of the jacket deer? Little folder?
Yeah.
It's a really thin folder. one story from the mountain goat.
So this comes to us from CNN. Ryan Borgwardt, a Wisconsin kayaker accused of faking his own drowning and fleeing the country, is alive somewhere in Eastern Europe. Alive somewhere in Eastern Europe has a flavor to it of like the 1970s. You just don't really hear that in a modern news story, you know?
I'll counter that by saying I think that to me, and there's a reason for this, it more has an element of like, alive for now.
Yeah.
Like if you are in an undetermined location in Eastern Europe and someone is verifying that you are alive,
yeah,
maybe you won't be for that much longer.
Currently,
you know?
Alive somewhere in Eastern Europe.
Did I rewatch Taken recently? Maybe.
Yeah, it's crazy over there, according to the Taken movies.
According to the Taken. I watched the third one the other day and I was like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. I mean, what are you doing here? Why did you bother even trying to watch the third one?
Oh, I think I was very ill, and I was just lying on the couch and filling in time. Perfect time to throw on Taken 3 and see how Doug Ray Scott goes in the recast role of Famke Janssen's new husband.
Oh.
And it was someone nice in the first one. Hmm. Anyway.
Hmm. He has been talking to investigators, officials said, but it's unclear whether he will ever return home to his wife and three children.
It was Xander Berkeley. It was Xander Berkeley in the first movie.
Uh-huh.
And then they recast that character as Doug Ray Scott, who you might know as the bad guy from Mission Impossible 2.
Now, what a wonderful film. Much maligned, but a wonderful film. Great news. We know that he's alive and well, Green Lake County Sheriff's Office Chief. Green Lake County Sheriff's Office Chief Deputy Matthew L. Vanderkolk said Thursday.
Good Green Lord. Lake County Sheriff's Office Chief Deputy That's too many.
That's a lot of words.
Shave a little off.
The bad news, we do not know where exactly Ryan is, and he has not yet decided to return home.
So I'm assuming this means he saw the news that said, your family is sad because they think you're dead. Could you at least confirm you're alive? And he said, I can confirm I'm alive. You know?
Yeah.
It's but literally the least I could do.
I'm not going to confirm anything else. The 44-year-old was reported missing on August 12th after failing to return home from a fishing trip on Green Lake. A massive 7-week effort to scour the bottom of the lake turned up no sign of Borgward, and officials began uncovering evidence he had fled to Europe via Canada. Investigators finally made contact with Borgward on November 11 and have been communicating with him almost daily, Van der Kolk said.
They got like a group chat going?
You got a group chat? Yeah. What are you like What's catching going up on? About? What are you chatting about?
WhatsApp? Well, like which
sports?
App? Signal? What are you on?
He still has not spoken to his family. I bet he'd be pretty sheepish. I'd be kind of embarrassed to get back into the family group chat and be like, yep, I did fake my own death to abandon you guys and then got exposed. But I want you to know, I love you very much. I just wanted you to all think that I was dead and to never see or speak to any of you ever again.
Yes.
And how just was for now, school this week?
Just for now, I would respect that I'm holding space for that.
Yes.
You know? Just maybe, just back off a little.
Maybe think about my number. Me, like the guy that failed to fake his own death, even though he tried really hard.
Yep.
So maybe treat me gently in this time.
Yep. I've had a few disappointments lately too. Okay? Yes.
We're sad.
We're all going through something.
Yeah. In a video sent to officials last week, Borgward appeared in a nondescript room and said, I'm in my apartment. I am safe, secure, no problem.
Big thumbs up.
Yeah.
You know, holding up a newspaper with the day's date on it.
Borgward told investigators he executed his plan by stashing an electric bike near the lake's boat launch, then paddled onto the water with a kayak and a child-sized inflatable boat, Van der Kolk said. He then overturned his kayak, tossed his phone to the lake, and paddled back to shore in the inflatable boat, the chief deputy recounted.
I'm going to keep it real. I think you could have taken the kayak to the edge of the water and just pushed it
real hard. Just give it one big fucking push. You have overthought this in the stupid ways and then massively underthought it in the ways that mattered.
Yeah, like doing the stashing an e-bike at the location, getting an inflatable child's boat to come back from the scene of the crime in, and then also applying to the Canadian government for a passport to go to another country.
Yeah, like you went through like the e-passport system. That kind of undoes fucking everything else that you did.
You would think that you're trying to do something like this right before asking a kindly snakehead to put you in a shipping container.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Or perhaps getting ready to mule something across a border.
Yeah. Because obviously you wanted to go to Uzbekistan, so that's you can't avoid
international travel,
right? You got to find a different fucking way. Like, you've got to, I think, for one, you have to disappear and have a cooling off period. You can't immediately disappear and then, like, try and go overseas because that's how you're going to get caught.
How porous, I have not traveled across much of Europe or particularly Eastern Europe. I would be curious to know, like, how kind of porous the borders are.
Oh,
in
I think
terms
you just,
of crossings and stuff.
From what I've heard, I've never been to Europe, but...
I'm assuming there is not a solid wall around each of those countries, is what
no,
I'm
I
saying.
No, I think you're just, like, driving between them. I think it's not...
Yeah,
don't really have a
and
care
on
the
big
the
roads,
largely.
Maybe someone might stop you every now and then and say, hey, what's up?
Why are you going to Latvia for?
Oh, do you have an EU passport? Okay.
Great. Have a lovely day.
Yep.
Enjoy Latvia. Once ashore, Borgward said he rode the bicycle through the night about 80 miles to Madison, where he boarded a bus to Detroit, Van der Kolk said. You rode like 130 kilometers overnight?
You know he was thinking about like Jack Reacher while he did that shit. You know,
he's really like picturing himself as an operator, I think.
Yeah. All I need is this toothbrush. My very legitimate passport. It's the only one I have.
Yep. Borgwardt eventually crossed the Canadian border and boarded a flight to Europe, he added, noting investigators are still trying to verify the story. Before his disappearance, Borgwardt had transferred funds to a foreign bank account, changed his email, and communicated with a woman in Uzbekistan, according to Green Lake Sheriff Mark Podol. Changing his email is kind of funny. Like the idea of changing your email, like you got a new Gmail account, you told everyone, hey, it's this one now.
AndrewLord.deceased@gmail.com.
That's right. Investigators were ultimately able to contact Borgwardt through a Russian-speaking woman, according to Van der Kolk, though he declined to say whether she was the woman he had been communicating with in Uzbekistan or whether he is currently with her. In January, Borgwardt took out a $375,000 life insurance policy, which Van der Kolk said was intended to help his family. So he did this, like,
I really did it for you. This is still in the group chat. When you think about it, I did it for you guys. It's a pretty selfless act to die and give someone all that money.
He did it 10 months in advance, which is like a fair bit of a cooling off period to give yourself to not look suspicious. That's pretty good. I'm admiring his
Are you happy that it's not weeks? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because based on how he did everything else, it feels like it could have been a case of just like taking out the plan and then the next day doing this, you know?
I would love to like dog tooth a couple of kids, you know? Haven't seen the movie, but I think I broadly understand the concept.
Yep. I also haven't seen the movie and think I broadly understand the concept.
Solid. We're on the same page then.
Perfect.
I would love to dog tooth a couple of kids, and one of them you raise with unconditional love in a completely supportive home until the age of, let's say, 12, and then you very suddenly and acrimoniously divorce. And the other one, do the same thing at the same time. Maybe your secret family, the two of them. Maybe both the dogtooth houses are right next door and you can split your time evenly, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
You raise the other one exactly the same way, up until the same age, fake your own death. I wonder which one, and then also the kid finds out that you faked your own death. I wonder which one shatters that child's, like, conception of love and security and the idea that anyone in your life will be there for you worse. Because a lot of people's parents get divorced.
And most of those people turn out kind of fine. I know I did.
Yep. Perfect in every way. But not that many people, not that many people's parents fake their own death. I have met multiple people who have had a parent or relative who had a secret family.
You don't hear a lot about secret families anymore these days.
Well, not with inflation.
Not with how things are, yeah.
Not in Joe Brand's America. You could barely afford to have one family.
Yes.
What happened to the American man's right to a secret second family?
To one job that paid for the entirety of two families' expenses. Two houses. Two homes.
Knew a posh English guy once who I used to work with who was clearly like well educated and I don't know, let's say middle class or whatever, and he was from like a family that had a decent reputation, made a bunch of money and stuff like that. Like they ran a line of breweries, and then it turned out that his granddad had been having a secret family for decades and was a gigantic scandal, and they like lost all the family wealth to it all being split up in all of this business.
Wow. It's like,
damn, granddad.
Yeah, that's
right. Crazy for this one.
And for the other one as well.
Yep.
Investigators have still not shared what may have motivated the father to abandon his family and everything he knew.
Bad vibes. The kids have bad vibes.
Probably bad vibes. Van der Kolk said he did it for, quote, a number of reasons.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for clearing that up.
He's like a middle-aged guy with like probably depression, at least. He's probably looking over the entire history of his life and then looking forward over his trajectory and then probably feeling sick to his stomach about what he's done with his one life. And then he's acting in an insane, completely irrational way and moving to Uzbekistan. Quote, in our communications, we're expressing the importance of his decision to return home and clean up the mess that he has created, Van Kolk said. Don't frame it that way if you're trying to convince him. Don't be like, hey, man, you need to man up and get serious and come back and deal with this horrible, embarrassing shitstorm that you have created that will make you look very foolish.
No one's ever going to let you live it down. Get back here.
Yeah. Start working on that.
I would say, about that faking your death thing. You have to get back here as soon as possible to claim your prize for best attempt at a faked death that we have ever seen at this department.
Correct.
We couldn't believe it. You had us all stumped for months. There's a plaque going up, and we really hope you can be here in time for the photos for it. Obviously. I mean, it'll go ahead either way. It's of big importance to the town. But more than anything, I'm excited to give you this really big check.
Yes.
Really big in multiple ways, if you know what I mean.
You don't want to punish someone for doing the right thing, you know?
Yeah.
You want to make sure that if he decides of his own volition to come back to his abandoned family that he tried to sever ties to permanently by traumatizing them, if he decides to do that by making up his own mind to do the right thing, you should incentivize him a little. You got to reward his good behavior.
Sweeten the pot, you know?
Give him a car or something.
Give him a car.
Give him a Hyundai i30. And go, hey, mate, I just wanted to say, I don't want to, you know, we don't have to get all whatever. I'm not going to fucking cry, but proud of you. You did the right thing. Here's a Hyundai i30.
I know it was
hard. Good on you, mate.
It would have been a lot easier to stay in Uzbekistan in that empty room.
Yes.
A completely bare room.
Featureless Uzbek apartment.
Seemed like it was lit by a single bulb that was behind the camera, pointed directly at you, you know? Yeah, look, we all would have loved to stay there forever, but you manned up, came back to face your problems.
It seemed like you had the dream life over there. Man cave that didn't have any furnishings, tarpaulin on the floor. One chair in the middle of the room on the tarpaulin that you were sitting on.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what a life, huh? We all envied you.
But because you came back, that's why I'm giving you this 20% off voucher for Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah.
For a minimum $50 spent.
We'll go together. We'll eat a mess of wings together.
$50. That's a lot of wings, brother. You know?
We'll watch the Packers game. Eat some wings. Brother, I want to say I'm proud of you. You're a good bloke. I don't know what Canadians say to each other when they're trying to say you're a good bloke. I don't know how they'd say that.
You're really growing up into a mature, thoughtful 44-year-old man.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. It's been lovely seeing you blossom as a 44-year-old man.
32-year-old sheriff saying this to him. I hope I can leave my family and then do the right thing like you one day.
Van der Kolk added, Borgwardt has expressed regret for how he has hurt his family and, quote, also feels bad about the amount of hours we have put in the community.
Too busy respecting the police to worry about his family.
You were caught by surprise by how long they did a missing person search when it looked like you had drowned in a lake. The massive search for Borgwardt was a costly and emotionally taxing endeavor for both his family and search crews, the chief deputy said, and authorities are intent on holding him accountable for the toll his actions have caused. The sheriff's office is preparing to charge Borgwardt with obstruction of justice, though the charges have yet to be filed, Van der Kolk said. The county will also be seeking up to $40,000 of restitution to compensate for the search, including equipment and wages, he said. Well, now he's never going to fucking come back.
Mm.
Hey, man, I just want you to... Can you hop on a plane? Everyone's going to yell at you. Everyone's going to be mad at you. The people that aren't mad at you are going to make fun of you. And then you're going to be 40 grand in the hole.
We're going to have to sell your Hyundai i30. There's no two ways about it. I'm sorry. He's like saying this just, he still hasn't let go of the keys as he's handing them to him. By the way, small matter of $40,000. I know you feel bad. I think I've come around to worse than divorce. I think if you and, let's say, your younger brother have been sitting in the living room waiting while your mum, both of your uncles, like, and a bunch of townspeople, you know, some of the teachers from your local school, they've kind of all been out down by the creek walking in a big spread out line, calling out your dad's name for hours. Finally gets dark. The sheriff says, folks, we got to pack it in for today. And then your mum comes home and cries and cries and cries herself to sleep in the bedroom. $40,000, not that bad.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to do it, though.
No.
I don't think this is going to work.
You know how far 40 grand goes in Uzbekistan.
Maybe even get your 40 grand. That makes sense. But just don't put it in the news that you're going to be seeking 40 grand from him.
Yeah.
Just wait until he gets back. You give him the keys, and then the moment they're in his palm, you say, ooh, yeah, you're going to need to flip it. We want 40 large from you, and we want it pronto.
Yeah.
You get me? Capiche? Rapido. 40 now, large.
Now, we bought this car from Tom's secondhand down on Route 45 for $6,000, which means he's probably going to give you about four for it.
If you're lucky. Resale on this i30, not good.
Good news is, though, you're 10% of the way there.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for coming back. You're a top bloke.
We all respect you.
You really came into your own as a 44-year-old man when you decided to return for this Hyundai i30.
Sure, you still owe $36,000, but you are going to get a series of, like, kind of firm handshakes from a couple of the deputies at the station before you leave.
Yeah. Yes. Hey. Hey.
You did the right thing.
You did the right thing. You are an insane person, and what you did was absolutely crazy, but you did the right thing by coming back. You will literally never live this down. People will be saying this about you, telling other people when you walk past, that's the guy that faked his own death. Yeah, he pretended to die in a kayak accident. That's that guy. They'll be doing it until you're like 90.
They had us all on rotating late night shifts, searching the woods for your body for 5 weeks. But I really respect that you did the right thing, came back.
Yeah.
You handled it like a man, you know? And you're a top bloke.
Borgort told investigators that he thought they would stop searching for him after about 2 weeks, officials said.
That's still fucking ages.
That's heaps of time, man. And they're probably going to keep looking. Because there was no fucking sign of you, probably. He chose Green Lake in part because it is the deepest natural lake in Wisconsin. That's a fun bit of trivia to have under the belt. Anyone ever asks you, hey, do you know what the deepest natural lake in Wisconsin is? Yeah, it's Green Lake, and it's where that guy pretended to die in a kayak accident and went to Uzbekistan. He actually came back because they told him they were going to give him a Hyundai i30.
I'm trying to think of like a mnemonic for this. If the death you fake, that be Green Lake.
Yes.
You know?
If the death be real, mayhap the lake is teal.
Two weeks. That's so fucking long to have people looking for you,
that's
dude.
That's still crazy. I just feel like this guy maybe doesn't have the emotional maturity to understand how a child would feel if their dad died.
Yep.
Like, maybe he's got a really low emotional intelligence.
I also think it would have been, let me just interrogate myself and see if I actually think this is true before I say it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would have been like less emotionally brutal as an experience for everyone. It would still be emotionally brutal, but in a different way, if he had just walked out of the house one day and not come back. You know what I mean? If he had just walked out of the house, gotten his car, driven like one state away, suitcase of clothes in the back, sold the car cash to some dude, bought another car cash, drove on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He quote unquote went out for cigarettes. If you just vanished, you know? Because then everybody gets to kind of go, maybe he was having an affair.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he moved to another town. Maybe he had a secret family. Maybe, you know, maybe he was in deep to somebody. Maybe he was actually secretly an assassin this whole time and he's moved on. People could have any number of explanations for this and they'll all say, I guess we'll never know, which I do agree is its own specific type of psychological torture for a family. But that's kind of different to me to saying, oh no, I'll answer the question myself for you, and that it's that I'm dead.
Yeah.
I'm making it look like I'm dead. Like, but also, you'll also never get closure on that part. I'm making it look like there was one thing that happened. I died, but also you're never going to get it confirmed.
To me, it feels like he did the like the moral calculus of going, man, I simply do not vibe with my wife and children, and I never, ever want to see them again. Is it worse for a child to know that their father intentionally decided to never see them again, or to have the trauma of him dying? But the overarching thing that he failed to take into account is that it's insanely fucked to be like, ah, no, I don't really like him. Don't really like the kids all my life. So I'm probably just going to go to Uzbekistan. Like, for a beautiful Uzbek lady.
I understand that people's lives end up not where they want them to be. Mm. I understand that a lot of people marry someone that they don't really have that much of a connection with, or perhaps even don't really like. You know? There's a lot of divorces out there. And I am willing to imagine that there are a lot of people who don't get divorced because that would just be a whole thing.
Yeah.
You know? Be a whole lot of effort to go to. But then there's all the, like, stay together for the kids people, where they're like, no, we kind of fucking hate each other. But we're just going to kind of put it off, you know, till both the kids have moved out. Like, there's a lot of people out there who aren't really where they want to be. But, like, you can say, I think I'm done with this and I'm going to go and make a new life for myself. Like, you can do that. It's legal. Nobody can stop you.
Yeah.
I'll go one further and say, I think if you just turned to your wife one day and said, you know what? I think that's it for me. I think I'm done. I'm going to get out of here. I've been chatting to a sick babe in Uzbekistan.
Yes, she is.
She's told me all about her lovely family. They're all busty milkmaids. They cannot wait for me to get there. And fuck it. I'm gone. I'll leave you the keys to the Hyundai i20. And look, this is the Hyundai i20 that they would end up selling to help pay for, like, you know, his lost rent and everything. The sheriffs later on, when they're trying to entice him back, they think, what's the thing every man needs when he gets back to the country? Especially out here, you know?
Yes.
You need a ride. So, I think he could just go. And I also don't think that the American government would compel you to come back. I don't think they have an extradition treaty with Uzbekistan. And I don't think they could claim child support from you there.
Probably it would be really hard, I reckon.
If any of those things were your concern, like if I leave my wife and kids, I'm going to be like on the hook for alimony forever, because obviously this guy's pretty self-motivated in his thinking at this point in his life.
He seems like a rugged individualist, certainly, yeah.
Seems somewhat Randian.
He does not seem family-minded. He does not exist in a village. This man is an island.
A socially conscious individual.
Yes.
You know? You know, so even if you're worried about any of that sort of shit, I don't think anybody's following you to Uzbekistan to make it happen.
Yeah.
You know? But of course, that would require, like, just that sliver of bravery to say...
You'd have to have the honesty to face up to what you've done. You'd have to look your wife and your children in their eight eyes and say, no, I kind of don't want this. Like, I don't... Like, I raised you.
Mm-hmm.
I've shared a life with you.
Yep. But I did not like any of it.
Didn't really like any of it. I'm not invested in continuing to be a part of it. I don't want to see how you grow and how the flower of your life mm-hmm. blooms from the soil of our parenthood.
Yeah, and I've not had a lot of time to think about that. I don't really like flowers.
I don't really give a shit about how you change or express yourself or how your life develops. I'm just kind of like, I kind of just want to like hang out with my like big-tittied Uzbek wife and game.
Mm-hmm.
So
she said they got sick internet speeds there.
They're so fast. You know? Uzbek fucking fiber to the node. Oh, forget about it.
Zero
Uzbek
lag.
Fiber to the premises.
She said she's got Black Ops 6.
Yeah. She says it's crazy.
She's got a PS5 Pro.
Yeah.
And she cannot wait for me to get there.
75-inch UHD 4K OLED.
And look, just to be clear, I think that you can make the distinction, right, in terms of morals and ethics and say that you can do a thing that is absolutely a shitty thing to be doing, you know, but also that there is a bravery in like taking your fucking medicine when you deserve it. I think that like of the two options of either standing up and saying, this is what I'm going to do, getting understandably yelled at by your wife and children as you gather your things and leave or whatever, versus I'm going to plan for over 10 months to
at
fake my own death.
Minimum 10 months.
He spent a year or more. Like, how many years was he thinking about it before he got up the guts to do this?
This was
literally the most cowardly way
he
possibly could have just fucked off to Uzbekistan.
Yes. Have the courage of your convictions to tell your kids that you just kind of like about them. You're kind of like, I don't really, you know, you guys have your own shit going on. I got my own shit going on too. So go to Uzbekistan while the getting's good.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, this country's going down the bloody tubes, you know?
It's the Trump. Maybe that's what pushed him over the edge. He said, I can't be here for another 4 years of the orange.
Can't take it.
Orange menace.
Yeah, I would like it as a wrinkle if he was a never Trump Republican, though.
That's very funny. Yeah, for sure. Lifelong Republican voter, but he thinks Trump is just like one step too far.
Bridge too far.
He's rude. Same policies, but he's rude.
However, I don't care what Dick Cheney says. Not voting for a Democrat. Yes. My only choice, Uzbekistan.
Uzbekistan calls.
The stand.
Yeah. Uzbek calling. we need the prior sentence. So this is the part where they were talking about how he thought that the investigators would give up after 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Quote, he picked the wrong sheriff and the wrong department, Van der Kolk said.
Relax, buddy. Number one, took you way the fuck too long to find him.
Yeah, like how long did it take before you're like, wait, should we run his passport and see if he like left the country or...
Check out his credit card or anything, you know?
I can't get over how easily this guy fucking cracked as well. Like, he had the fucking option of once they've reached out to you at your new email address and be like, hey, did you fake your death? He's like, oh, yes. Oh, I did. Yeah. Here's the step-by-step procedure of how I faked my own death to abandon my wife and children. This is how I did it. This is the brand of inflatable child's paddle boat that I used.
Yep.
Like, you could keep your fucking mouth shut.
He divulges all of this, but then he's like, is that her? Is she in the room with you now? No, I'm not here.
I'm busy. It's 2 a.m. in Uzbekistan.
No,
I don't want to talk to her.
Man. Just tell them I don't love them, but I'm sorry. Tell them I'm sorry, but also I don't love them.
Do you reckon the cops tried this? Because what? They were on like video calls with him. Do you reckon they were just like, get the wife in, open the door, let the wife... And the wife just walks in and he slams his laptop shut. Not going to do it. I'm not going to talk to her.
Thought it was just having a chat with the guys. Thought it was just us guys.
Man. His family has told authorities they want Borgort to return home and officials have been begging him to come back to U.S. soil, an emotional Van der Kolk said.
He's emotional now. He was being like kind of aggro.
He was stoic before, and now he's being emotional.
You picked the wrong sheriff. You picked the wrong sheriff. You picked the sheriff with the most love in his heart for every one of his constituents, who is also up for re-election this November.
That's right. I always get my man back to his family. Quote, Christmas is coming, and what better gift he could give his kids than to be there for Christmas with them, Van de Kolk said, his voice breaking.
Dude, like, I'm sorry. You cannot will this family reunion into being.
Christmas is not going to tip him over the edge. If he was willing to let his kids think that he died, he's not going to be like, oh, fuck, they will really want me home for Christmas.
See, this is... The final sentence of this has really thrown me for a loop, to be completely honest, because up to this point, the whole vibe was like, come back and sort this out, right?
Yeah.
Like you've made your family think that you died. You have wasted all these police resources. It's been in the fucking papers here, you know, all this sort of stuff. We need you to come back and like give a statement to the police, sort this shit out, you know? But at the very end, it's very apparent that Sheriff Van de Kolk is specifically interested in reuniting this family. And I don't think he's getting his Christmas wish.
Yeah.
I think that by the time you have opted to fake your death and travel to Uzbekistan, you've kind of made up your mind about the marriage, right?
Oh, like there's no fucking way. Like if you were the wife, how much do you have to fucking love this dude to look past this? How would you ever move beyond this? Ever?
Well, I always said he was a little eccentric.
He's a weird guy. Yeah, he faked his own death and permanently traumatized the kids and sort of really firmly let them know that he doesn't give a fucking shit about them and would rather live without them. But, you know, he came back and he's, you know.
He came back as soon as he got yelled at.
The night that he came back, he cooked his dinner. Like, it wasn't, he burnt it. And it was like, it wasn't great, but like, you know, it means that he's trying.
Bought me flowers from the gas station.
Yeah.
But still.
They were fake. Yeah.
Doesn't usually buy them for me, you know?
Man, it's just, there's no fucking way, right? There's just no way.
No, this family is not reuniting. Like, and to be honest, if you were this guy's kids, do you think they're like, no, I'd love to have this dude back in my life?
How could you ever look at your dad and not think he wanted us to think he was dead?
He disliked being a member of this family so much that he faked his fucking death. He put a bunch of time and effort into faking his death.
Yeah. No, it's just, that's not going to happen. Maybe this is a honeypot. Maybe they're like, no, come back. Get reunited with your family for Christmas. And then, bam, they drop a cage on him. Put him in a clink.
Yeah, I think the clue there is in the sentence before this. Officials have been begging him to come back to U.S. soil.
Yeah, for prosecutorial reasons.
Yeah. We are all just loving you and we want to see you and be with you here in this jurisdiction.
Where the law of the land here applies to you. Come back into that legal zone.
Yeah, I noticed they're not trying to, they're not getting the money together to send the wife and kids to Uzbekistan, are they?
What we want more than anything is for you to set foot outside of the airport.
Yep.
Just one step.
Just hop off the plane. And we'll make it all better.
Anyway. God damn. Well, we'll keep an eye on that story and see if he comes back in time for Christmas. Otherwise, that was definitely an episode of the podcast, Bunta Vista. Thank you so much for joining us on this crazy ride. A sort of an intimate, more relaxed vibe.
Yes.
Between two guys hanging out while Lucy...
It's just two guys.
...is late coming home from the airport after she flew to Melbourne to see The Offspring.
Oof.
Is that what happened?
I feel like she sort of named two bands that she was going to see that I didn't recognize.
I think those are
she
the
said
two
they
bands.
Were like they were like pop punk band things.
Those and are the ones then... she's coming up to Brisbane to see, I think, with the random pop punk bands. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I've missed that because I thought what she was doing like was sort of saying, oh, here's some bands and The Offspring.
Yeah.
I thought it was that. Well, oh, they can't look good.
It was The Offspring.
Look good, The Offspring.
I don't think Lucy's going to listen to this, so it's not a big deal. But like Maddie turned to me last night after looking at her Instagram stories and seeing Lucy posting about going to the Offspring. And she was just like, I don't get it. Does she like them? I was like, yeah, I think she's a big fan. She's like, no, but does she like them now? I'm like, yeah, I think so. Yeah. There's no way that show's good, right?
No, I was talking to some people on the weekend about them seeing like you know, fucking Nick Cave and the Pixies and stuff that now.
The Pixies are meant to be fucking dire at the moment. They're like current touring lineup. There's and just how they're playing.
I don't know like if this is a naive thing of me to say or anything, but I think it's particularly bands that had their beginnings in the trappings of punk and like counterculture stuff being like these sort of extremely long-running institutions that kind of bums me out, you know?
Yeah.
Not really applying that to the Offspring, but still.
No, I'm sure she had a great time, and I'm sure it was a wonderful trip.
But that's why she's not here.
That is why, and yeah, Theo. XLR Cable, hey, we will see you back on the free episode with probably most of the people that are on this podcast. Until then, stay safe. And if you strongly desire to sever all ties with the people to whom you do sort of owe an explanation and you kind of maybe have a duty of care to, look them in the fucking eyes and say, I'm leaving you.
Peace, you know?
Yeah, I'm out of here. I don't like you. Goodbye. Don't just fucking do an elaborate scheme to make it look like you died. That's dog shit behavior.
And my pledge to the listeners of our show before we go is that I promise never to fake my death to get away from you.
Yes.
If you hear that I have died, it is real.
It's legit. It's legit for real. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we don't hear that too soon in the near future.
Not for a while, not ideally.
A yeah. Stay safe out there. We'll talk to you real soon.
Bye. Bye-bye.